Take your Bibles back to Psalm 85 for our launching place. Man, it's good to see all of you, and I'm so glad you pushed it, made it here this evening. Thank you so much for being here. I want to show you my family. Do we have that pic, guys? Can we throw that up there? Derek said he thinks we have it. I wanted you to take a quick. There we are. That's our full bunch right there, our three children, my daughter-in-law, and six grandchildren. I met the other day for Terry's birthday, and I want to tell you something about them. They're all sinners, every one of them, my children and family, just like all of we are. But I want you to see a quick shot of the family. Thanks, guys, in the back. I want to ask you, if coming in the building today, you got a 3x5 card, then the ushers and the team did a really good job. But I didn't get mine, and I feel like some of you maybe didn't get yours. So if you will, if you guys are ready, or if they're somewhere, would you lift up your hand if you didn't get a 3x5 card? Let's make sure everybody gets one. So where are our guys? They're fellowshipping. But we'll make sure that everybody gets one. That's so important tonight. Let me tell you that I got to spend a couple of hours today with your hardworking, committed staff. And boy, I'll take one of those if you have one, please, Zach. And I just want to be sure everybody, in fact, let's make sure all of our technicians in the back get one, and our live feed friend gets one, and anybody else that's anywhere in the building, security, anybody else, let's make sure everybody gets one of these. So important tonight for our time together. But I got to spend some time with the team today, and I want to congratulate you on assembling a mixed bag of all kinds of people in this church on the team. I'll be frank with you. I'm very impressed with the committed people and their passion for you, for Christ first, and for you and for the opportunity that they have to serve. And what you're seeing here on this platform today is you're seeing a response to what I'm going to ask you to do in a little while. I asked them today, sitting around the table, without me telling you what the challenge is. I want to ask if you're up for a challenge. And they got really quiet in there. And they all, one after the other, said yes. And we spent some time in prayer. And we were sensitive. We were listening for God. And I said, here's what I want you to do. And I did it too. I have a card here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen carefully to what the Word says tonight. And more importantly, I want you to listen to what the Spirit of God says. He that hath an ear, say it with me, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church, to the churches. I believe the Lord's going to say something to you tonight regarding something in your life that needs to be laid on an altar. Did you hear the song? I was thinking, and for the record, I don't think you changed that, Derek. I think that's the song that was scheduled for tonight. Did you hear that line in the song, God So Loved? Bring your failures and your addictions and lay them down. Tonight, I want to ask you to do that. I want you to be honest and humble tonight. That's a big thing to ask of a Baptist church, because we are famous. Some of the best actors I've ever met are members of Baptist churches. They could go to Hollywood and make millions. Because we project that everything's all right, when in reality, we have struggles going on that are very real, that are hindering us from being everything God wants us to be. Remember, I told you it was camp. This is camp for us, Jesus camp. And so tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something like we would ask you to do at camp. And I want to go ahead and tell you that the enemy will fight you like crazy. I don't want you to put your name on this. In fact, I want to ask you not to. Nobody's going to come and read what you've written. In fact, right after the service, these will be destroyed and they'll be removed. But I just want you to come face to face with what God is saying to your heart. Would you look with me in Psalm 85? I apologize for this little frog in my throat. It has something to do with this Missouri wind, I believe, or something like that. Psalm 85, 8 and 9 is our template for this revival. We started last night with this subject. I will hear, Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. We talked about hearing God speak. We're listening. Some of you have heard Him speak already today. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Now tonight, listen to this phrase. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. And here it is. And let them not return again to folly. In this text, folly carries the idea of sin and failures. And for the record, so you don't think I'm condemning you, I have a card right here. I've already written some things down today. And tonight I've asked the Lord to bring to my heart anything that is standing between him and me. And I will tell you this. Some of the things I've already written down are things that I've had to bring back to him more than one time. The reality is I recognize that the enemy fights me in the same area again and again. If I'm not careful, he fights me in areas that he knows. And in fact, what I've observed, and I told the staff this today, he attacks me in the area that God uses the most, which happens to be my mouth. I have the gift of the prophet, which is bold proclamation, Romans chapter 12. But my mouth, sadly, and I'm not proud of this, and Lord, thank you for forgiving me for it, gets me in more trouble. Because I'll say just enough. Anybody else got a problem with this? And then I'll just, if I could just stop right there. But I'll have to say one more thing. Just have to say it. And someone will be injured. And a brother or sister will be offended. Now, look here. I promise you, I didn't come tonight to offend anyone. I just want us to do some real close self-exploration. And listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to us tonight. Let us not return again to folly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight I'm asking something major of your people. And you know you've led me to do this in every church that we step into for the balance of my life. Because I know, Lord, what you did for us. And yes, I'll tell the people about it. And God, I'm asking you tonight that your people, that the veil will be removed and that honest, humble hearts in a few minutes will be writing down things, sins and weights and failures that they know are not right and yet they struggle with them. And I pray tonight, Lord, there'd be a victory that would be experienced in this place, that you would speak peace unto your people and the saints. Lord, we know that you have the power to do it and we know that you've given us the capacity to lay these things down and have victory. So God, would you speak to us tonight on this repentance night of this revival? May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2019, just a couple of years ago, our church was going through some adjustments and changes. I had announced to them that God was leading my Terry and I to step out into revival work. We've been doing this and pastoring the church for nearly 30 years. But I felt like the need was greater. And to be frank with you, my passion became more for this than it was for the church I was serving. And I love those people. Almost 38 years together we've been. And so when I announced that, it was a shock. We began to pray and listen for God. And the Lord brought this wonderful man of God into our lives. God brought him. And the church affirmed that by a 95% vote. And he became our co-pastor and will become the official lead pastor the fourth Sunday of April, if you'll pray for me that Sunday, fourth Sunday of April this year, in just a few weeks. I asked God, Lord, what would be the best way for him to begin his ministry at Central? And how could we make the sweetest transition? And the Holy Ghost brought to my heart something that I hadn't thought of in years, and it was Life Action Ministries. Y'all ever heard of Life Action Ministries? Life Action is a traveling group of young people, usually first-year college students, and usually three revivalists, two families, and then a keynote speaker. They do the music. They take over everything basically in the church so your people can sit down and embrace the ministry and receive the gift that God has for us. We set that thing up. You could do a one-day, a four-day, or an eight-day revival, and guess what we did? Crazy nuts. We went for 8 days in 2019. Can you imagine that? You wouldn't think anybody would come, but I want to tell you them hicks that God's given to us, we couldn't wait to get back every night because God was so much at work, Pastor. And there was a night, the first In fact, when he preached the first couple of sermons, you could tell the Spirit of God was at work. We'd been praying and preparing our hearts before they got there. They didn't give a public invitation, I don't believe, Terry, until Monday night. And that was the night of repentance for us. Let me tell you what they asked us to do. John Avant, a friend of some of your folk here, preached that night. And he said this. He said, he don't want to make it easy. And we don't want it to be your tradition. Because how many times have we come forward and cried, prayed a little bit and with our sin, and then took it right back to the seat with us, and never really was there any lasting change? So he said, tonight, we're going to ask you in a little while to address your sin, to publicly confess your sin. Which, by the way, every real revival that ever happened in this land or in the scriptures, there was public confession of sin. And so he said, what we're going to ask you to do is go out the back doors. We have a great big metal building. And he said, I want you to go out the back, go outside, walk under the shelter to the old tabernacle, the old sanctuary in the chapel, where we have set in those pews in that building, we've set pieces of paper that says, my response to God. And we want you to, as many as can, to turn around and kneel with your face toward the seat of that pew. And write down the sins that God is saying to you that you know you're convicted of after these 3 nights of meeting. And leave them there before God and trust that what He said in His Word, He would do in forgiving and helping you have victory over those matters. Well, in the end of that service, He said later He was expecting 20% of the people to respond. Almost everybody in that building, hundreds, streamed out that back door. There was brokenness, and in that room it sounded like almost like travail. There was I heard moaning, there was grief, there was brokenness as the people dealt with their sin. And would it shock you to know that after we did, he said, by the way, when it's over, don't get in corners and talk about ball games and activities. Just go home and saturate yourself in what God did for us tonight and celebrate the fact of the victory we have in Christ. And then come back tomorrow night ready to worship God. You talk about worship, Pastor. I'm telling you, the glory rolled in the next night. You know, when we deal with our sin, which grieves God, the Spirit of God is able to be more free than He ever has been. And the power of God was so rich through the balance of that meeting. And the people stood to testify. The last couple of nights were almost taken up with people that were testifying of God's goodness and grace in their lives. So what I'm asking you to do, I believe in. I've done it myself. In fact, I have to do it in every revival. God probably put us in this ministry and He'll probably make that clear when we get to heaven because we need repentance. Terry, would you agree with that? On a regular basis. So would you pray for me that God would speak to me tonight? And I'm going to pray for you that as I preach, He will speak to you tonight. And let's get clean. Father, one more time, I would invoke Your sweet presence. Holy Spirit, we started this meeting with You because I knew how desperately we would need You tonight. Only You can convict the world of sin, which includes us, and righteousness, and judgment. Only You can show us that it's not just something that we need to forget about, but it's something we need to bring to You and ask You to forgive us and turn from it. So tonight, Holy Spirit, help us to hear You speak and to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a verse that I want to begin with. And then we're going to go to various places in the Scriptures. And I know I'm asking a lot of you to have your Bibles, and they won't be able to follow me. I'll be going too quick. But they have the first verse up. But I'm going to share many scriptures. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 different thoughts. And I want to preach tonight on this subject. The time has come. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4, 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment as you hear a very familiar verse. Listen to this one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? forgive us our sins. You know, I used to stop there a lot because that is initial salvation. And trust me, I do know the gospel, how that Jesus washed away all of our sins when we came to Him in faith. I do know that. But I love the last part of that verse. Not only did He wash them all away when He saved us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's salvation. Listen to the part for believers like us. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, that's the sin that comes after we get saved. Is there anybody in this room that would be so prideful as to say, Pastor, since the moment that I came to faith in Jesus, I've never sinned one time? I don't think there's anyone in this room that would be that presumptuous. I've met some people, and I love some people that have been taught poor theology and who believe that they are what is called sanctified holy. And that means they don't sin anymore. The only problem is, if you follow those cats around any length of time, I promise you that they sin. And they fail, and they're human. Listen, if I could ever be perfect, if I could ever be sinless, then Jesus would not have needed to go to the cross in the first place. But He did go there because He knew that I'm a mess and that you're a mess. And He knew tonight we'd be sitting here in this room in Springfield, Missouri, with a bunch of humble saints that are honest. I'm going to tell you, the enemy's going to fight the daylights out of you because you want everybody to think you got it all together, don't you? You want your husband or your wife or your mom and daddy. Listen, I want to ask you to do this. Would you do what the pastor said that Gypsy Smith asked? Would you draw a circle and say, God, speak to the sin of everybody in this circle and let it just be you and God and me in this room? Well, thinking along these lines, every person who's ever lived life on this earth is a sinner. It's time for us to look clearly at this and hear God speak as He turns the light on our sins. Let me give you multiple types of sin, and we'll look at two or three scriptures together. Number one, I want to talk about conscious sins. There's a verse in James 4 and verse 17. Listen what it says. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. You know the verse. To him it's sin. These are sins that we are very well aware of. We know is wrong, but we absolutely do them anyway. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You say, Pastor, could a Christian willfully sin? Well, look, you don't even have to ask that question. You look yourself in the mirror like I do every day. I know good and well. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm in the presence of God and there's no more sin and no more temptation and I'm not going to blow it one more time. I'm not going to open my mouth and say anything stupid one more time. When I get to heaven, that's all going to be over. I'm not going to hold unforgiveness ever again. Listen to this. Listen to these verses in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Listen to some of these sins. Fornication or uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These are His children. And then He said in verse 8, put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man. Put on the new man. I'm talking about conscious sins. These are the ones we are very much aware of, and yet we still seem to be tempted in these areas. I want to show you a second one. And I want you to look all the way back to the Old Testament, the little book of Leviticus, and I want to talk to you about unconscious sins. I was reading this not long ago. I looked at it again today, and I was thinking how clear this is. Leviticus chapter 4, let me read a few verses in the first part of the chapter. Unconscious sins. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance. What do you think that is? That's unconscious sin. against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sins of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. But it goes further than that. Let me read just a little bit more. Look down to verse 13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, that they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Unconscious sins, listen to what they are. They are sins of ignorance. These are sins when we are ignorant of the word. We may be caught in a circumstance or thrust into a situation where we are faced to act without ample time for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Have you ever had that occur in your life where just all of a sudden you're put in a situation and you respond the wrong way? I was in an environment not long ago and I watched a father in a public place really let his kid have it for something. You could tell he was having a hard day and the kid was just the innocent brunt of that. And the Lord brought to me my own sin at times when I have responded and lashed out on the people that I love the most. I wrote down a few sins to help us understand a little more of what he's talking about here as you're turning to Psalm 19 for a couple more in just a minute. I wrote down a few sins that sometimes for us can be sins of ignorance, are what he's called unconscious sins and conscious sins. Let me give you a few of them. I mentioned anger, wrath, and malice. How about this? Unforgiveness, disobedience, idolatry. You know what they say the three primary idols of this generation are? Money and power and sex. All three good things in their God-ordained place. Remember, I even said this last year to you, I believe. When good things become God things, then they become an idol. When good things become God things, they are an idol. And so idolatry is an issue. And the one I see that probably the most in my own life and ministry is this idol. The idol of me. It's what I want. It's the way I feel you should respond when I give you an opportunity. It's the idol of me. I want my way. I still battle my flesh every single day. Pride is the chief sin from which all other sins find their way from. Greed and selfishness, distance and prayerlessness. I want to say something to husbands and wives in this room. If you think for a moment you're right with God, and you've not touched your husband or wife in a long time, you're not right with God. When you're not right with others, you're not right with God. As His children, we must address these conscious sins and unconscious sins. Let me give you another. In Psalm 19 and verse 12, I want you to see hidden sins or secret sins. Psalm 19, look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, secret sins. These are the ones we think we have covered. You know, I've lived long enough to find out that the Proverbs, when he says you can't hide anything, one day they'll be revealed. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Look, you might think you'll be the first one that'll be able to keep it hidden, but I promise you it will affect your testimony. It'll affect your life. It'll affect your children. I've watched in the congregation that I lead the sins of the fathers visiting their children and their children after them to the third and the fourth generation. Mom and Dad, if there's no other good reason for you and I to get honest tonight and write down our sin and put them in this altar and bring them to God, is so that our grandchildren and our children don't repeat them. It's so sad. I'm tempted to tell you stories, but I shared the feed tonight. There'll be some of our church people watching, so I better not tell on them. So I want you to know that these sins follow us generation after generation. These hidden sins or secret sins sneak up on us when we're unprepared. It's an evil or lustful thought an unkind spoken word or response. It's a snare or a fiery dart that the Bible talks about. And oh, how our hearts are broken when we find out someone who we love, who we thought was walking with God, have compromised themselves to the place to where they're almost disqualified to serve in some capacities for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about conscious sins and unconscious sins and hidden and secret sins. Did you know, sometimes, remember I told you how good an actor we can be? Sometimes when we have something in our heart, we can fake it with our face and make it appear that everything's all right when down inside there's bitterness and wrath and clamor. Let me give you another real quick, just a couple more. This same chapter, Psalm 19 and verse 13, tells us about not only conscious and unconscious sins and hidden and secret sins, but number four, I want you to see this big word, presumptuous sins. Look at verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. It's like right in the middle of this passage that talks about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He says, Lord, keep me back from this. This is not a sin that I want to keep doing. But I'm in a cycle, God, and I need your help. A sin of presumptuous sin is a sin against conscience. It's something altogether different than what I just mentioned on secret sins. It's asking God, he's saying, Lord, here's a willful area that I struggle in and I still come back to it. I'm prideful and I think I'm better than somebody else. You say, oh, I would never feel that way. I fear that we see way more of that. Self-righteousness. Willful, deliberate, intentional, with eyes wide open. Deliberate, disregarding the word of God. Lord, I'm doing it anyway. There's an illustration of this in Isaiah chapter 5. You can look at it later. There's a story of a man that puts his sin on a cart and pulls it with a cart rope through the city that he lives for everybody to see. It's almost as if I'm going to do whatever I want to do and you're not going to tell me any different, God. And Jesus is not going to tell me any different. And the Holy Ghost is not going to tell me any different. And the church and the preacher is not going to tell me different. Here's my sin. I've kept it all these years, and I intend to keep it. Presumptuous sin. This is a sin committed against light and knowledge. It's like Adam and Eve. And Adam knew his wife had taken of that fruit. He knowingly took of that. It's David's sin. Can I share some other sins? When preparing a message on the prodigal, and the Lord gave me some sins, and some of these fit students. I want the students in the room to listen. I want you to hear some of these sins that are addressed really all across your congregation and all across every congregation, but some in particular with sins. Listen to this one. I saw this in the prodigal. I see it in this church, is dissatisfaction. I just wish I had different parents. I wish I had a different life. I wish I looked different. You let the culture tell you how you're supposed to look. You ought to be a little smaller. Or you need to be a little taller. Or you need to be a little bigger. Or your teeth need to look a little different. Boy, we have bought into the devil's lie that somehow or another God messed up when he made you. I got news for you, friend. You're the best you there ever has been, and the prettiest one. And when God looks at you, he sees absolute beauty in the way he made you. You are who God wants you to be. But not only that, listen to this entitlement. I deserve that car. I deserve to be married. I deserve a better husband or wife. Entitlement and pride. I'm better. I deserve more. Or selfishness. Nobody cares about me. Racism comes out of all these. A sharp tongue. Sarcasm is hidden by a sharp tongue. There used to be a guy that I knew and I really loved him, but he hurt me so many times. He would say things in a cutting way and then he would do this. This makes me so mad. He would go, make a little joke out of it. Well, I knew he wasn't joking. He meant just exactly what he said. But he did it with a smile and a little snicker. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to smack him. I believe the Lord would have let me smack him. But I didn't. Look at this one. Laziness. Antisocial behavior. Just being withdrawn. Robbing others of your fellowship and robbing Jesus of your fellowship. Addictions. Excesses. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess. Any excess. Any addiction. When we're going to something else as a better God than the King of Kings who we serve, something's wrong. Lust, sexual sin, anger and wrath, and the temperament issues, impatience, covetousness, are you writing? Envy, jealousy, bullying, social media sins. You know, you want to really get convicted sometime. Take your phone, if it records like mine does, the amount of time you spend on social media, and take a quick look at that. And then think about how much time you spend in worship and in the Word. Well, it's so convicting, isn't it? It's like the world sets us up for failure in these areas. Lying and stealing and cheating. Oh, I would never do that. Unforgiveness, unthankful, of course, we will sin. Bitterness, the fear of what life will be like in the future. Hiding, the wrong kind of friends. See, here's what I know. There's what everybody sees, and then sometimes there's the real us. I'm just going to mention this last one because if I remember correctly, I preached on this last year. The last kind of sin is not just conscious or unconscious sin. It's not just hidden or secret. It's not just presumptuous sin, but it's what is called forgotten sin. And I told you the story in Genesis 32 of Jacob. How that Jacob had stolen his father's birthright, or his brother's birthright and blessing. He lied. He left. While he's gone, he was deceived. And then he comes back. And he's on his way back to meet his brother. And he ends up in this moment in chapter 32 with God where the Lord asks him, are you going to lie again like you lied to your daddy when he asked you who you were and you told him you were Esau and you know good and well you're Jacob? He hadn't thought about that in many years. But God reminded him of something in the past. Can I tell you, I don't recommend delving back into your past to dig out things. I do recommend being honest. I just thought of a story real quick. One of the men that serves with me on the staff of our church is one of the most precious men I know. I saw him weeping the night he was preaching on dealing with sin in our meeting. And the next morning in the staff meeting, we would sit down with John and the other team members and our pastors. And he said, I need to share something. The guy that was weeping on my team. And I said, what is it? He said, when I was in college, at Bible college, I worked as a jeweler. And he said, I never thought about it till the Holy Ghost. Listen, he didn't go digging. God brought this to his mind that night. He said, the Lord brought last night right to my heart. I hadn't thought about it in 20 years. One day this person wanted their same setting, their same ring, but a different diamond. And he said, I was taking out a very expensive diamond to replace it with another, and a corner of the new diamond broke off, totally changing the value of it. But he said, I was such a good jeweler that I could take the prongs of that ring and I could so place it that nobody would ever see it. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord brought to my heart in the time of revival like we are now that I needed to make that right. He said, I have a call in to that woman. I call the shop. They have the records from all those years ago. I have a call in to her. It was 3 or 4 days before she called back, and he was miserable. He didn't know what he was going to, if he did, was going to have to come up with a major amount of money or whatever. Finally, the woman responded to his call. He had left a very emotional voicemail. She said, "Pastor, I want to tell you something." She said, "I didn't know there was anybody left like you anymore that would be honest about something like this." She said, "First of all, I want to tell you that you don't owe me anything. And I want you to know that I forgive you. And I want you to know this is made right." You say, "Well, that's a different kind of an illustration." But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. You talk about freeing. You talk about the peace of God that comes when we deal with our sin. Forgotten sin must be dealt with as well. The Holy Spirit will reveal what needs to be dealt with before revival. Is there anybody you need to ask to forgive you? Is there anybody, hey, you know, I got a phone call since I've been here in Springfield. I used to serve a small church for a little while when they didn't have a pastor. I would drive down there and preach, come back and preach at Central. Go down in the evening and preach in the afternoon, come back and preach at Central. I did that for a few months. And in that church, I met a little boy who's now 35 years old. Good night. It's terrible getting old, ain't it? You just remember stuff. But here's what's happened. That young man now is making statements about harming himself and taking his life. There are issues between he and his biological father that go unresolved. It's a painful, hard, hard moment. Did you know the concept is this? My dad will never apologize for the things he says and does and how hard he is. And by the way, there may be somebody in this room and your earthly father won't be here to apologize because they've already died. But I will tell you right now, our God will be a father to the fatherless. He'll free you of that. He'll bring help and healing. And if your father is where he is and is right with God, where he needs to be with God, and you go to him and say, "Dad, there's some things that are not right between us, and I want to make them right. And if I've had some wrong feelings in my heart, would you forgive me? And Dad, this hurt me when this happened in your life." You say, "Does God really do that?" I see that all the time. God alone can bring that kind of healing and forgiveness. But you know where it starts? It starts with us being honest. Because if we're not honest, listen to this. I love this little verse in 1 Corinthians 4:5. The Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Nothing hid shall not be known, Matthew 10 says. I want to tell you something. I know, you say, "Pastor, you must think we're a terrible church." No, you're a normal church full of some precious people. But all of us are sinners. And the best news of all, and I close with this, is that Jesus knew you and I would be sinners when he saved us. And he saved us anyway. You're important to him. He loves you, and he'll forgive you, and he will heal you, and he'll even forget it. That's what I love about Jesus. He don't know what in the world we're talking about right now. God in heaven's thinking, "What in the world are they talking about?" But the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind and heart. I like to tell school teachers, and we got some educators in this church, you know, sometimes those parents that don't think their kids can do any wrong, you know who I'm talking about? Teachers do. They're thinking, "Yeah, I got some of those." They're kind of being a little bit like God. Because if anybody accuses us of our sin or failures, he don't remember any of those. What are you talking about? I don't remember any of that anymore. My kid, my child, I don't see their sin anymore. So come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, Isaiah 1. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Pastor Tom, what will happen when we come and we bring our sin? I'll tell you what will happen. Number one, there will be the smile of God. Hey, I didn't preach this and I don't have time to, but go back and look at those three stories in Luke 15. The coin and the son and the, what was the third, sheep. And all three times when repentance takes place, there's joy. Joy, joy, joy. Come rejoice with me. You want to make God happy? Bring your sin. Bring your sin. It'll bring joy to you as well. This could change a marriage tonight. This could change a family tonight. This will establish a pattern. You say, "Will this be once and for all?" No, the rest of our lives we'll be coming to God with our failures. God will give us victory to stand in purity with Him. if we'll allow Him to every day. Father, I pray for our leaders. I pray for our friends in a moment when we ask them to come. And Lord, when the music is played, I pray that Your people would slip out from wherever they are and honestly and humbly come and bring their sin to this altar, drop it here, and leave it here. Thank You for Your forgiveness and Your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.